There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, in June 2019, Valerie French Kilroy was brutally murdered by her husband at their home while her three young sons lay in bed. For her brother David and the rest of the family, it was the beginning of a battle against a system unprepared to protect the three innocent children whose father remains their legal guardian today, despite being convicted of their mother's murder. Well, David joins us now. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, David.
Thank you.
Now, I know you've written the book for Valerie as a tribute to your sister. May I ask what happened in June 2019?
So basically, he murdered her on that evening. There, according to him, there had been an argument. He stayed at home at the house. She went out to get shopping. When she came back, he ambushed her with a knife and... yep, that ended in her death. He was apprehended by the police the following day. He said he'd killed his wife and kids. Thankfully, the kids were alive when the police got to the house in the afternoon, but they'd been abandoned and neglected for most of the day. But, yeah, just to reassure the audience, the children are in good health and they weren't harmed physically by Kilroy.
Yeah, thank goodness. But I'm sure emotionally they absolutely were. So he was apprehended straight away. So even though he's their legal guardian, who looks after the children now?
So the children are in care. I can't, obviously for privacy reasons, I can't say too much about them, but they were taken into care by the state almost immediately afterwards without really adequately consulting us on that, us being the victim's family. James Kilroy was picked up the following morning and he basically sort of talked to the police quite a lot, but most of his talking was about himself and the kids kind of only came up sort of in passing, as it were.
It doesn't make sense, does it? They've got a loving family with you guys and yet they choose to take them into care.
That's unfortunately how the system works. The system kind of has to respect that James Kilroy has guardianship rights over the children. And it's the fact that he murdered their mother isn't taken into account. He's absent because he's in prison, the same way as if he'd been put in prison for stealing a car. It's not seen as relevant to his guardianship. So he fully retains his guardianship. And, you know, that is a daft situation. It was fixed in the UK under something called Jade's Law last year, May 2024. That was brought in and that would suspend guardianship from people like James Kilroy. Obviously, you know, we're hoping to have a similar law here in Ireland. And like most laws, it wouldn't be retrospective, but this would help families and other children in this situation going forward. And there's, you know, in Ireland, there's seven children put in this situation every year. That's 700 across Europe.
Yeah. And I was reading as well that Valerie was the third person to lose her life at the hands of a partner in Ireland that year. I mean, that's also a big statistic, sorry.
It is. And that year, 2019, was probably better than most. The fact that she was only the third and her murder happened in June. Typically, we're having sort of 10 to 12 every year in Ireland of women being killed by partners or men known to them. And in the UK, it's about two per week. Across Europe, figures are quite similar.
So apart from the children, is he, because he was married to your sister, is he also responsible for her estate?
Yes. Basically, the criminal trial and the verdict of murder happens completely separately. He doesn't have the ability to inherit from her, but the right of survivorship means because their house, which is the only real asset, was under joint tenancy, which is like every couple that has a mortgage and the house is in joint tenancy. Now, he's the only tenant because she's dead. So he owns the house 100%. This daft issue came up when Celine Cawley was killed by her husband back in 2008. And yeah, he got, in that case, the judges were able to say, look, half the estate should go to her daughter and half would still go to him. But there hasn't been any legislation in this space as of now.
And does it make a difference? I know that he claimed insanity. I don't know whether he's in prison or in, a hospital. But does that make a difference if he's deemed as insane, mentally insane? Then is it all brushed to the side?
So James Kilroy, he tried a defence of insanity, but that was kind of the only defence that was really open to the legal team that he was given. When he was apprehended by police, they said, look, is this the knife he used to kill Valerie? And he said, yes. Now, he tried to go down the route of, I had cannabis psychosis, blah, blah, blah. And they tried that defence. The jury saw it through it. The judge even said, don't even bother bringing voluntary intoxication in to me as a defence. So, it was all just his words. There's no insanity there. He's been in prison since he was apprehended. There was no nights in hospital. There's nothing, he immediately sobered up or whatever. There was no treatment, really, as far as I know, in prison. So there's nothing mentally wrong with him in terms of insanity. That was just a defence they tried on because they probably had no other options.
And is he likely to come out, David? How long did he get?
Well, he got the standard life sentence for murder. In Ireland, there's no minimum tariff. So a sentence like all sentences would be backdated when you're taken into custody. So that was 6 years ago. In 6 years' time, he can start his parole application. A life sentence here in Ireland is 25 years. Typically, people would serve 17 or 18 because 25% is automatically deducted.
So this is obviously 6 years ago now. Have you been constantly within a legal battle then trying to fight this?
Well, we've constantly tied up in the childcare stuff. The criminal trial is obviously something that's taken by the state and the victim's family. The duty is to basically be quiet and not upset the trial and not speculate or say anything or reveal information because his defence would seize that to say he can't get a fair trial. What you kind of learn is that all the civil stuff, like the property, etc., that has to happen after a criminal verdict. So once a criminal verdict was handed down, then we could start thinking, okay, so, Valerie's assets need to kind of be put into an account for her children and used for their benefit and their college fund going forward. So that kind of stuff has only happened really since July last year. And like there's reminders every week. There's something related to this every single week since June 2019, stuff you got to do or some kind of reverberation from the original crime. That's it.
So is there anything we can do? I mean, these silly laws need to be changed. Is there any petition we can sign or anything?
I have a website, valerie.rip, and that's got a link onto the petition on change.org. Here in Ireland, there is political will to move ahead with guardianship law reform, and it's in the programme for government for the new government that we got this year. The minister responsible, the justice minister, is moving forward. So there's political will, and these things take a long time, but I think And there's also a private member's bill, so there's two possible legislative approaches. I think what's important are that people are aware that this kind of thing happens, that femicide is a real thing, that women are aware of the risk and that the rest of society is aware of the risk and that men are aware of the risk and the risk factors and so on, and not to be in a state of denial. This stuff happens, it's terrible, but there's no point pretending it doesn't because that only makes it harder for victims' families after it happens.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. It's hard enough to lose somebody you love without having to go through all this as well.
Absolutely. The system compounds the problems. And I mean, there's a lot of very, very narrow-minded, rigid thinking about this. I mean, James Kilroy's guardianship rights, they're being protected just like any other father in prison. And the system is built to help and support parents. Now, for most parents, including parents in prison, they should get every support possible to maintain the relationship with their children. But when they've actually abused a child, and killing a mother is definitely child abuse, then they should be taken away from a position of power. It doesn't mean that they're unavailable if, you know, for psychological reasons or whatever, someone thinks, oh, we should try and set up a relationship with the father or whatever, then he's totally available to do that. But he shouldn't have rights to know where the children live, to be consulted on all the issues, you know, medical, education, religion, and so on. He gets to decide lots of stuff. In our case, he basically blocked us, the victim's family, taking those children.
And are you allowed to be in touch with them?
We are within very constrained circumstances. We were allowed to see them one day out of all of 2024. It'll hopefully be better this year. It was crazy, and there's no, you know, there's nothing we've done. There's no thing I'm not mentioning here. You know, the victim's family is innocent, but the state, kind of the way the laws work, they enthusiastically sort of respect his rights, and they see some sort of equivalence between the perpetrator's family and the victim's family.
It's shocking. I mean, those poor, poor children, they've been robbed of their mother and now their mother's family as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't make sense. And it's not even about common sense. There's an absolute ton of research around what is best practice in this sort of case. I mean, there's a book called When Father Kills Mother, 2 minutes on Google and you find it. The problem is, a lot of the social work doesn't take on the new information or doesn't take on research from abroad. And some of this is kind of tied back to a we know best attitude, but they don't really have any specialized team dealing with the post-murder situation. So they get taken in by the killer's manipulation. And you have to realize, like, these men are manipulative people. And there's, in our case, there was 5 years between the crime and the verdict. So he's got a lot of time to basically drive his story into the social work space.
Yeah.
And he's the one that they listen to because he's the father.
Crazy. Do you know how they're doing? How they're coping, the children?
They're doing well, thankfully. They're currently out enjoying the sunshine, so that's good. Yeah. But they're involved with sport. They're very into reading. They've really kind of taken after their mother Valerie's interests. They're, you know, they're creative, intelligent young boys, so that's positive. And, like, hopefully her parenting, as long as it went on, will stand to them going forwards.
Yeah, bless them. Well, the book is pays tribute to David's sister, her loving personality, her relationship with the monster Kilroy, and the shocking aftermath of the killing. It's called For Valerie, the story of my sister's death at the hands of her husband and its devastating aftermath. And it's by David French, who we're speaking to now. Let's hope we can get a new law, Valerie's Law. Just give us that website again, David.
It's simply valerie.rip, Valerie, V-A-L-R-E-I, .rip.
Well, I wish you lots of luck. And when you do speak to the children, please give them my best.
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.